No, I haven't been drinking. I just got a bad knee. So everybody relax. We want to, as already been mentioned, we want to make sure we pray for the guys and their trip and that they have a safe trip back to this place. And also the people that have had death in their family here recently and those that have had death lately. In everything God has placed here, growth is a natural progression. It is how God has designed it, whether it be plant, animal, or human. As it reaches its maturity, it is not as if it is not as it was from the beginning. There's a benefit of growth, and there are rules that govern the growth. When a tree is planted, the laws of nature applies. It grows and there is shade. When vegetables are planted, when they grow, they produce food when matured. Animals, when they're nurtured, they grow to become part of the ecosystem. These things do by nature what they are designed to do when all is in place. Now, what is ironic is that man is given charge of these things. Genesis 2:8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put man whom he had formed. Genesis 2:15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all earth, and over all and every creeping thing upon earth. In man, he is a triune being. There's physical, mental, and spiritual growth. And all aspects has to do with knowledge, which comes from wisdom. As a matter of fact, wisdom is the application of knowledge. For you to know something and not use it, it doesn't do you any good at all. If you know someone has, say, $1 million, and they're going to give it to you, and it's sitting up here on this chair, and you don't go up there and get it, then you probably don't even deserve it. So to have wisdom and not use it is just as foolish as not having it at all. The question is, does God expect you to grow spiritually? He expects you to grow mentally. He expects you to grow physically. And he expects you to grow spiritually. It has been said, metaphorically speaking, of course, that man has a bone right here. I don't know if it's left or right side that does the reasoning. But man has a bone right here. And that bone seems to get in the way every time there needs to be some deductive reasoning. Every time it needs to be some thought process, it seems like that bone gets in the way. And it stops the man from making a reasonable assumption of something. And he begins to have crazy thoughts. He begins to do things he ain't got no business doing. He begins to act like my grandmother used to say, well, I won't repeat what she used to say. But it seems like he allows reasoning to be interfered with this bone that he got here. So God, being as good a God as he is, God understands why we do that. Proverbs 14:12 says, every man, all man thinks that's right in his own eyes. He seemingly think things are right, but therein are the ways of death. So see, God already knows us. He has the answer. That metaphorically bone is put there by grandmothers and old folk when they're trying to explain why you're acting like a fool or foolish. But God already recognizes that we ain't gonna do what we're supposed to do. He knows that. And not only that, he understands that Satan is here. And Satan's job is to disrupt your reasonable thinking. So God, being the good parent that he is, he puts things in place to help us to have reasonable thinking. Remember, we're going to grow physically, we're going to grow mentally, but you ain't going to grow spiritually until you grow mentally. You've got to get things in order before you recognize that order is given by God. So when you, and another thing it helps me with, because we're going to start in Proverbs in a minute, another thing that helps me with, when somebody's arguing with me, and I know I'm right, you say, well, Curtis, now you're putting yourself in that place. No, I know I'm right because of testing and the things that make something right. And they keep arguing. I've learned not to keep arguing, because man, think in his eyes, he's right. So if you're going to read this book, it is written that you might be able to get things out of it to help you. So God said, Curtis, don't argue. He think he's right. What you need to do, if you can't show him that he's wrong, then let me handle it. And that's what I've come to conclude. Because every man in his eyes thinks he's right. And that is generic. That's women too. So don't think I'm just standing up here talking about men. God, being a good God, says, I will help you. I know I got some hard-headed folk. I know that. So the divine power given unto you, he says, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, God says, I'll give them to you through the knowledge of him. You know what he's saying? When he uses that scripture, he's talking about life, he's talking about eternal life. But when he's talking about godliness, he's talking about holiness. He's talking about things that he will help you in order to make it from this life to glory. But notice the kicker. You won't know it unless you get the knowledge and the wisdom from the word of God. So he fixes it, though, as much as you might think you know. You don't know what you need to know to be right with God. But he said, I'm going to fix it because you're my child. It's like your children. You're going to do whatever you can to keep them right. So God said, well, I know you're hard-headed. What I'm going to do, I'm going to fix it where you can learn. So if you want to put a title to this thing, does God expect you to grow spiritually? Does he? Does he really expect that? So now look, you're not going to grow spiritually unless you grow mentally, because you won't be able to discern what he's trying to tell you if you keep yourself in a simple-minded state. The book of Proverbs' purpose is to give hope, to give encouragement, exhortation. It's credited to Solomon. His call was to the youth. Solomon understood that being youthful, you was going to have a whole lot of issues. And he understood that when you needed to learn stuff, you needed to learn it as young as possible, so that when you get older, you can make the application of it. What the old timers used to say is hard to teach an old dog new tricks. Does God expect us to grow? Without a doubt, sure he does. Paul, when answering a question on the gifts in 1 Corinthians 13, he had to explain to the people about what they knew, what they would know, and what they would know at a later date. Get your Bibles. We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 9 through 13. We've all heard this scripture before, and we may have used it for a lot of different applications. But it is talking about growth. It's talking about the knowledge of what they're going to learn in the future. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, in the context, it's talking about, it's an argument with the gifts and that type of thing. And he's magnifying charity. He's magnifying love. And he's telling them, it's not all here yet, but you'll understand it later on. That's kind of the same thing with growing from a child to an adult. Things are murky. Things are muddy when the child is talking about his future. But if he continues to live and he continues to be obedient, then things will clear up later. God's going to let you know. What stops you from learning is yourself. What stops you from wisdom is yourself. What stops you from knowledge is yourself. All of these scriptures are going to have the same application, but they're going to keep on talking about the knowledge is the knowledge that you get from who? You get from God. But where's the kicker? The kicker is you have to read it. You have to study it. And you have to make the application of it. To know a whole bunch of stuff and not use it don't mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing at all. He goes on. He says, it's like, and don't get me wrong. I still like playing little games. You know, my grandmother, she had a metal roof on her house before she changed it. And I still like hearing the rain drop on the roof. I still like that stuff. So, well, Curtis, you're 63 years old. That's all right. I still like that stuff. Now, I'm sure some things you still like doing, too, as a child. But that's not what the scripture is talking about. The scriptures talk about when it's time to put aside all of the nonsense. When it's time where life begins to do what it's supposed to do with you. When it's time for you to make life decisions. Playing marbles ain't the time for that. When it's time for you, put in there whatever you want to put there. Marriage, work, children raising, church, following the Lord. When those things become apparent in your life, it is time out for playing games and marbles. It is time for you to understand and to learn what thus says the Lord. In order for you to get the applications correct, in order you make the applications in your life, get your head out of it. Get yourself out of it. Get your thinking out of it. You cannot control it. God had already told you that. I done made you, man. You gonna think you can answer. You cannot answer. Salvation does not come from man. It comes from God. And the only way you're going to be able to understand what it is to read what thus says the Lord and make the application of it. Solomon knew this. He knew growing up could be very painful. He understood that. So what he wanted to do is to make sure that he wrote some things that would be very helpful. I want to go through a few of them. They're going to start off childlike, but then they're going to get adult-like. Meaning that the application is not only there for the child, it is there for all, us also. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. What does that mean for you? Hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake your mother. What does that mean to you? What that mean? Huh? Does that mean you just ignore them? Aren't they supposed to be for the betterment of you? Does that mean you think you know more now because you know how to work a computer and they still don't? What does that mean to you? But Curtis, the world has advanced so much. Yeah, but this still here. The instructions is for your life, not how to work no computer. The instructions is for when things bump into you. They've told you how to sidestep it. They've told you how to get out of it. That computer can't do that now. You need somebody that has been there, somebody that has learned, somebody has sidestepped it with the help of God. You need somebody to explain to you what a computer can. 11:12. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for the bow. You know what that mean? You know what lay wait mean? That mean hide. You're in a situation you ain't got no business being in. Don't follow them. I'm big, cause I can take care of myself. No. The Lord says lay wait, hide. Get away. Oh, I can handle it myself. Oh, that's what gets you in trouble. Move, hide. That don't make you any less a person. Your friend's doing some stuff, hide, run. Oh, you old fogey. You don't want, you call me what you want to call me. When the law come, they ain't going to get me. They going to get you. You the one that's wrong. I'm hiding. I didn't get out of the way. I didn't let my big-headedness, I didn't let my stubbornness, I didn't let my I can handle this get in the way. I hid. He told me to hide. He told me don't have no part of it. He told me don't try to say I can do it all by myself. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. You know what he's telling them? That's death. Go hide. Let them die. Don't be part of that. 5:15. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Ah, this grown folk here stuff here. This ain't children's stuff. People make many applications of this scripture, but one of these applications is you stay with your own wife, your own sister. You stay with what God has given you, your own well. Drink out of your own well. You paint the picture you want to. Drink out of your own well. This grown folk stuff here. That cistern, that well over there don't belong to you. It belongs to somebody else. You can't even go ask, can you drink out of it? You drink out your own. Curse, I'm bad and I know you ain't. Drink out your own well. Drink out your own cistern. Keep to your own what God has given you. It ain't for you to go dip in somebody else's well. All it do is cause a whole bunch of trouble. God says, drink out of your own well, your own waters, thine own. 8:11. See, all this is wisdom you need. Once you make this application, you can find God. You're ready to look for him. You need some common sense before you look for God. 8:11. Lust not after. No, that's not it. I didn't want to do none of them. 8:11. I left them off on purpose. For wisdom is better than the rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. What we want in life? We want this. We want that. We want this. We want a big house, big car, big this. All that's fine. We want this. We want this. What did he just say? None of those things are larger than wisdom. Rubies, man, you want to buy your wife a nice ruby if you can. And if you have, may God bless you. Women not the only somebody that like things. Men do too. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But what does scripture say? It's not better than wisdom. And not only that, it might have took some wisdom. You shouldn't have bought that thing right then. You might should have waited a little bit. But wisdom means more to you than the things that the Lord have allowed you to accumulate. Because wisdom will give you the application of the knowledge that you've learned from God. So when all those things disappear, you won't leave God. You still have the wisdom to understand that God give it and God take it away. You still have the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that if he gave it to you once, he'll give it back to you. You still have the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that I can do without. You still have the wisdom and the knowledge to understand that I can be contented with whatever I got. That's what wisdom and the word knowledge of the word of God does for you. It won't keep you chasing a whole bunch of stuff that you can't get. It'll keep you grounded. It'll keep you understanding that whatever God has given me, therein I am contented. But you're not going to learn that with your own wisdom, because that bone is up there. And that bone got you looking for something else. That bone won't let you see that God says, find contentment with what I've given you. 22:1. We're going to get rest of it. Man's goings of the Lord. How can a man know? How can a man then understand his own way? Until you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. God, I've been watching programs lately, and God has given some children some very, very dynamic minds. I mean, if you watch that show where the little kid plays that piano, you know, a knucklehead like me, it'd take me years just to play two or three notes. But they are gifted. And God has done that, speckled that all throughout this world, people that are gifted with things. But even though they're gifted, they don't know their way to God without the knowledge of him. So that's okay if some of you are sitting here and you're gifted. More power to you. Hopefully you'll use the gift for the glory and honor of God. But that gift you got won't get you into heaven. It won't get you there. You still, because he says you don't know your own way, no matter how smart you think you are. 22:1. I know you heard this before. Grandma, you say something similar to this. I swear, some of the stuff they used to say, they had to get it out of the Bible. They just paraphrased it. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. How many of you actually believe that? Curtis ain't picking on nobody. Man, whatever God gave you, glory to it. Whatever he's given me, glory to it. But the basis foundation is to understand that that stuff came from the gift of God. And that stuff don't make a Christian. And that stuff is not a status for a Christian. What a status for a Christian is once he becomes set aside for God's use and he uses that gift for the glory and admiration of God. He builds up on that. Not this stuff. Good name. You know something about names because there are some names even in the Bible you ain't going to name your children. Simply because of the ramifications of the name. You understand that? Yeah, there's some stuff you ain't going to name your kids. You know? And then even if you're not careful, some of the words that we used to use that are biblically correct, we don't use them no more because of what the world has done to them. So you know something by names. See, it's all right to call yourself sanctified. As long as you've been obedient to God, that's okay. Through the justification of what he's done through the death, burial, and resurrection, you can call yourself sanctified because you're set aside for his use. But you don't go to work and walk in there tomorrow, yeah, I'm sanctified. Because when you do that, everybody's going to look at you. And they're going to automatically start thinking some other religion. Because that's what the world has done. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm holy. Huh? Then you look in the corner, some people whispering over there, hey, he's such and such and such and such. No, I'm a Christian. But I can use those words. There's a lot of time I understand why we're doing it because it takes too much time to try to explain them. But you can use them. So you know some of our names. Don't sit here and look at me like names don't mean nothing. You know. How many of y'all name your kid Judas? No, you didn't do that. It's more than one Judas in the Bible, but which one do you remember? You ain't going to do it. You know. What's the harlot name? Y'all don't even want to see. Y'all, what's the harlot name? How many of y'all name you pretty little young lady that God has given you, precious baby girl, that you want to raise and she becomes a viable citizen and a citizen of the large church and marries a good Christian man and good Christian children, and the heritage keeps on going, and now all of a sudden you got more Christians in the world. And how many of you name a Jezebel? Why not? See, you know it's something in names. So if you know that, then why you don't want to adhere to the scripture? A good name is more than rubies. Oh, somebody going to talk about you anyway. They're going to make false applications. They're going to get stuff misunderstood. That's all part of living. But a good name. Curtis, you crazy. I want the ruby. You can't take the name to the bank. That's not true either. Some of y'all in here, God been so good to, all he needed is your name to go to the bank. So even that works. Last couple. Did I do 20 and 24? Bag up. I did. Then bag up to 4 and 7. It's the last one. 4 and 7. Ah, this is a good one. This is another grown folk one. Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get an understanding. That's simple old horse sense. You go into business with somebody, you need to get an understanding. You got folk working on some property of your house, you need to get an understanding. You got folk doing anything for you, you need to get an understanding. See, and all by getting as you go through life and all the things that you try to achieve and all the things, the windows and the doors that the Lord open up for you and all by getting and all by chasing, you need to get an understanding. And in that understanding, you need to understand that whatever it is you're chasing, whatever it is you may achieve in life, you got it because of God. So you need to have that understanding. It didn't come from your intellect only. It came from your understanding of the Word of God. It came from the grace of God. And all by getting, get you an understanding. And even in that, when you get your understanding, you understand that you don't need to chase all that getting. Makes sense, don't it? And all that getting, somebody work on your house, you get an understanding. Say, man, didn't the contract say you're going to do this, this, and this, and I paid you this? We got a bad understanding here. It works the same way with the Lord. And all that getting, get an understanding. And all your pursuit and study of the Word of God, get an understanding. Because wisdom doesn't work with the application of knowledge. Doesn't work whatsoever. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. What you hear and you're hearing, that's the last verse. That answers the question. Does God expect you to grow? Sure he does. Sure he does. He expects you to grow spiritually. He expects you to grow spiritually because he gave this to you. And what you going to do with it? You're just going to hold it? Just going to sit on it? You're just not going to mature it? God doesn't want that. He wants all of us to grow. He wants us all to mature. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can do so by becoming obedient to the will of God, by being baptized for the remission of your sins, by confessing Christ, Jesus is the Lord. And when you use that word confession, it's kind of has the idea when you confess or something, you are agreeing to that charge. So you're agreeing that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is your answer. And then you'll be baptized for the remission of sin. You stand subject to the invitation. Please do as we sing.
When the Savior calls, I will answer. And when he calls for me, I will hear. And when the Savior calls, I will answer. And I'll be somewhere living.